study. Father, we thank you that your word is true and real, perfect and powerful. It's light, it's salvation, it's our strength and our shield, our strong tower. You are the word made flesh. You are amazing. You are amazing, God. Indescribable. Unbelievable. God, you are amazing. Please, God, may we find ourselves in awe of you every single day. By the power of your word tonight, change us. In Christ's name, amen. I want to tell you a story. I was in my late 20s, maybe early 30s, I don't remember exactly. It was 1998. I had just started my prison sentence. I was in Miami. I went to federal prison for importing tortoises from Tanzania, and my paperwork was no good. They said my CITES paperwork was bad. I said, that's not my fault, that's your fault. You guys cleared it. They said, no, that's your problem, unless you can get proper paperwork. So I wound up getting a year in federal prison, and believe me when I tell you, that was the least of the problems. I'm there about a month and a half, 2 months, and I started getting into a routine, and on my routine, I would call my wife and first thing in the morning, I'd call her in the afternoon, and I'd call her at night before I went to bed. Well, on this particular day, I called her on the phone, and I said, how's it going? What's up? What happened in the day? Faye and Richard were constantly dropping off either money or food because we had none left. The government kind of pulled it all out from us. And she said, oh, Ashlyn wants to say hello. That was loud. I said, yeah, Ashlyn, if you guys don't know, most of you all don't know my daughter, Ashlyn. She's my middle of my older daughters. She and her husband and three children live up in Virginia. They were both in the Army. Now he works for Amazon. Now you know their story. She gets the phone, and she's just a little girl at the time, and she says, hi, Daddy. I says, hi, baby, how are you? She goes, I don't like school anymore. You need to come home right now. See, we told her I was in school. Daddy went to school. I was told I was in Yale, not jail, you know? So I said, I can't do that, baby. Daddy's kind of, he's up in school and he's got to stay here until he's finished. She says, can you just come home for a couple minutes, please? Now, this couple minutes thing, it's a dagger that was stuck in my heart. I'm going to tell you why. My daughter, Ashlyn, she's that kid. She's the terrorist. She's the naughty one. She's the one who wouldn't go to sleep. Like, it was a hostage situation every single night. And the way I would get her to go to sleep is I would go in her room and I would lay down in her bed. And then when I heard her sleeping, I'd creep out every single night. And I'd leave, half the time she'd go, Daddy, 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 where you going, Daddy? I'm leaving. She, can you just lay down with me a couple minutes? Couple minutes. You have to learn how to go to sleep without me. You're 26 now. I'm looking. She was only about 5 or 6 at the time. So here I am in prison, and my daughter's telling me, couple minutes. Now, again, I just got there. So your heart is still soft. You're still missing things. You know, the first 6 months to a year you're away, it's the hardest one. You know, you don't get into the routine. So it was like I just kind of slid down the wall just with the phone just hanging in my ear. And my wife was like, honey, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm not okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I just walked back to my bunk and just grabbed my face and put it in the pillow and just screamed in the pillow. You're so stupid. What's the matter with you? Ruining your kids. Look at you. Horrible. But weeping may endure for a night. I wake up in the morning, 8 o'clock. I call my house. My wife answers the phone. She goes, honey, you've got to talk to Ashlyn. I was like, look, I can't do this again, honey. I don't have a lot of these left in me. She says, listen. Hi, Daddy. Hi, baby. How did you sleep? Daddy, I had a dream. I had a dream. God took you and put you next to me in my bed. And you were in my bed for a couple minutes, and I slept so good because you were there. Great deliverance is of the Lord. And what we're about to read, I will bet anything, is somebody who wrote it, whether it's David or who else, who just came out of that. And I encourage you here two things. Number one, think about those times. They happen a lot. Now, I'm talking about something that happened 20 years ago because I know it's a real emotional tearjerker. But believe me when I tell you, I can tell you one of those about every day. Half of them, though, you're going to be like, yeah, that doesn't do it for me. No, but it did it for me. But this one, I know that story does it for, like, you know, everybody. I want you to think, what great thing has God done in your life? And what was your response to it? Have you not yet been, ready, awestruck by the Lord? Have you not been awestruck by his amazingness? Have you not yet been blown away by his miracles? My brother, my older brother, he was my hero. My mother and father always having marital problems, always getting divorced and getting back together, getting separated, getting back together, you know, all this other stuff. My brother was, you know, he beat the crap out of me, but believe me when I tell you, he was the only one. Because he would take care of business if somebody else put their hands on me. At 13 years old, he started smoking pot because, you know, pot doesn't hurt you. And then he was smoking what we used to have in my neighborhood. They had this stuff called, I guess they call it now PCP. Angel dust, right. Angel dust. Diesel. Who said diesel? Yeah, man, you know. So they smoked this diesel, and they'd be like zombies. So he started doing that, and then that faded, and then crack came into the 80s, and so he was into the crack, and then he started snorting heroin. My brother was always afraid of needles, but he would snort heroin. Finally, he got straight, and he was messed up for 20 years and had a kid. But old habits die hard. And he would drink some beers with his friends once in a while, smoke a little herb, because herb don't hurt you, you know? One day, his 8-year-old son, him and his girlfriend, him and his wife got separated, and he got a house up the block, and his son every day would go and say he was going to school, and he'd go up in his house. And one day, my 8-year-old nephew went up to say good morning, and I'll see you after school, to my brother, his father. And he was sitting at the desk,
just dead.
He was dead. And I was filled with regret. I was filled with anger. I was filled with pain because, you know, it's this crazy thing. You know, it's a crazy life we live. When somebody's really messed up, you got to separate from them. I'm sorry, I can't bring that here. I can't bring that supernatural darkness in my house. I can't bring those curses around my kids. And I can't deal with you when you messed up, bro. You're so irrational. It's crazy, you know? You know, 20 years of the crack and the dust and the... Bro, you get diesel dust. I just can't do it anymore. And then the guy dies, you know? And it's like... So I'm sleeping one night a few months after he's dreaming. I mean, after he died, I'm sleeping and I'm having this dream. And I have my hand in his hand, you know, like a brother shake, like you know, like this thing here. And in the dream, my arm is stretched out like across this line. It's this line of, this weird line of demarcation. And I'm pulling him. And in the dream, my brain, or it was weird. It was like it was more like a vision. I don't know how to describe it, you guys. I'm just going to describe it in the best human way possible, and hopefully that God will give you the vision. So I'm pulling him to me, but in the dream, I know if I get him across this line, I'm going to see this devil. I'm going to see this beat up old. I'm going to see this scary demonic thing. But I don't want to let him go. I want him. I want to tell him I love him and I'm sorry, but I'm pulling him and I'm pulling him. And I'm like closing my eyes because I don't want to see it. And I get him across the line. And as I get him across the line, he was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. He was like 13 or 14 years old, and his skin was perfect, and his hair was big. And my mother's Ashkenazi Jew, so we had this thing called a Jufro. You know what a Jufro is? And he was, his fro is, and he was beautiful. He was beautiful. And I hadn't called my brother beautiful since I was a kid. So now, you know, anybody ever asked my brother's beautiful, man. He was beautiful. It's just changed everything. Beautiful. He was beautiful. I got a lot of those stories. And after those stories happen, Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Have you not yet been awestruck by God? Will you walk outside? You tree, praise the Lord. Stars, praise the Lord. You water above the heavens. Have you not yet? Have you not? I sincerely tell you, I pity you. I pity you. If you've not had a Psalm 148 moment in your life where you just wanted to go out and tell everybody, praise the Lord! Tell everything, live, dead, inanimate, everything. Like, you find out your wife's pregnant, you know? Like, Jonah has a prudent wife. Jonah, excuse me? Do you know what kind of kid he was? I do. Don't deserve it. But you got her. You got her. You walk out, praise the Lord, I married her. Right? Not, you guys not feeling this? Oh, man. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures and all the depths, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and hills. Fruitful trees, cedars. You guys hearing it? You know that? Man, when I woke up, I just wanted to praise the Lord. It's the worst thing in the world, man. It's the worst thing in the world when somebody in your life dies and the last memory you have about them is just trash. And God's like, no, I ain't gonna leave that with you. I got something for you. You guys, some of y'all remember, oh my goodness, I can't believe I don't remember his last name. What was Tony's last name? That Tony Musabe. Anybody here remember Tony Musabe? You know Tony Musabe? Do you really? Anybody over here know Tony Musabe? Tony Musabe was with our church when we first started, and a few years after we started, he got lung cancer. And At one point, he was declared cancer-free, but then, like lung cancer, Will, came back with a vengeance. And the guy was, you know, he was a 180-pound dude. He wasn't a big guy. And this cancer just ate this boy up. I mean, by the time he died, he was about 100 pounds. But let me tell you something. Do you know what he did? Everywhere he went, he told people about the goodness of God. Every, till 3 days before he died, all he did was tell people everywhere he was how good God was. And when he died, it was one of those things that made no sense whatsoever. Him and his wife just adopted a kid. They had two kids of their own. He was involved in ministry, deep ministry, preaching the word, outreach, street evangelism. Made no sense. Like, God, you're going to have to explain this one to me because I don't get it. And his wife was what you call a needy woman. She needed a husband. Great lady, but goodness, she needed a husband. She's one of them Cuban sisters, you know, and she needed a strong Cuban man to keep her in line. And she comes to church one day and she says, I'm not mourning anymore. I'm like, why? I'm like, not why, but like, what are you talking about? I had a dream last night. Tony was running in a field, and he was jumping up and down, and every leap, he would go higher than the stalks in the field. And he turned around, he looked at me, and he said, don't cry for me anymore. I'm fine. I'll see you again. I'm fine. God does that stuff. Now, you might be hearing, like, well, he didn't do it for me because I had this happen. It's, listen, I don't know why God does one thing for one person, another person for another thing. I don't know that. But God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. God didn't love, what's her name? Christina more than you. He does different things, but you got to be awestruck by God. You got to get to the point where Psalm 148 makes sense to you, man. Where you just want to go outside and go, do you hear me? Tree! Cloud! Then it starts to rain. Rain! Just everything. And if you've not been there, again, my apologies. I don't mean to flaunt my love for God in your face, but I'm going to flaunt my love for God in your face. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted, and his glory above the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We talked last night at the men's meeting. If you weren't there, you missed it. We talked about the Holy Spirit. And what we talked about the Holy Spirit is so many people, they see the power of the Holy Spirit. They hear a preacher talk about the things like I'm talking about. And you hear about these, the rushing wind and the flame, tongues of fire and people speaking in tongues and light falling from the sky. And you hear about all these things. And you think to yourself, maybe, well, why doesn't that happen nowadays? Why is the Bible so different than real life? These people did this, and these people had that, and then the Spirit descended like a dove, and this person saw a vision, and that one had a dream. Why doesn't that happen now? Was it just for them? And my answer is always the same when somebody asks me that. Well, let's see. The Lord Jesus fasted 30 days, 40 days. The Apostle Paul fasted 3 days a week. People went out to the wilderness and turned everything off and just sought God. Are you doing that? Or are you sitting at home watching Netflix, wondering why God doesn't show up in your life. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be, did you have a brain cancer? Did you get a tumor in your brain? I mean, what is it that you're willing to go through? Did you sit and say, God, I'm yours, everything I am, all that I got, try me now and see if I can be completely yours? Or is it just, I like my comfort. I like my finances. I like my relationship. I like my kids. When my son was born, at 11 days old, the cutoff time, me and Papa and my father, who's also died some years ago, we took him to get his circumcision. And poor kid got sick because he had three sisters at the time. Now he's got five. Three sisters, and they were always in his face, so somebody gave him something. He got sick. He had a cold. And he used to, as a matter of fact, his nickname for the first few months of his life, I called him Grunt. I used to call him Grunt. He's grunting. I was like, oh, my boy's a grunter. But he was grunting because he couldn't breathe. He's always stuffed up his nose. And my mother and father-in-law had a son that passed at 21 years old, some 30 years ago. I guess I had just gotten out of prison also. I was, in 1999. And my son, he was a little bit too dear to us. He was a little bit too, we were a little too wrapped up with him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Parents? And one day, we were watching TV, me and my wife, and my son was on the bed in the other room, in our bedroom. We used to live up in West Palm. And all of a sudden, we hear, wham! Ah! Go running in. And I don't know how this little kid, he crawled off the side of the bed, whacked his head on the ground, and I was just a little baby at the time. How old was he? He couldn't have been a year, right, baby? He wasn't even walking yet. We just couldn't breathe. Everything. I said, dude, don't move. Watch him. Cam, what did you do? And one time, I just had to say, enough. Enough. Enough of this fear. Enough of this worry. We took the kid, we put him on the bed, we laid our hands on him, and we gave him to God. We said, God, he's yours. He's not ours. And if you should let his flesh be destroyed, we know his spirit will endure. We gave him to God, just like Abraham gave Isaac to God. And we surrendered him. We said, he's yours. You got to take away this fear, this worry. We can't worry about everything he does anymore. Praise the Lord. Good times and bad times. Chapter 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. That phrase occurs about a dozen times in the Bible. The Lord doesn't want you to just sing a new song of music. He wants you to sing a new song of life. And you want to know the great thing about singing to the Lord a new song? It never stops. You're never too old to sing to the Lord a new song. God, take this child's well-being from me. We know that you love him more than us. We can't worry about it anymore. We had to sing to the Lord a new song. If some of you guys have any kind of testimony like mine, if you grew up in an era and in a time and in a family like mine, there's a certain amount of rage that you grow up with. And there comes a time where you're going to have to sing to the Lord a new song. If you're from the era of mine, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, 70s and 80s, baby, Led Zeppelin, The Who, The Beatles, bro, I listened to The Wall so many times, I probably wore the grooves off of 4 albums. So that's another great story. You brought up Pink Floyd, right? So Pink Floyd, The Wall comes out in 1980. I am a sophomore in high school. I listened to that album so many times, over and over again. Vera, Vera, what has become of you? Right? Well, by the time I was a junior in high school, I was diagnosed manic depressive with outbursts of violent wrath. I don't know how that happened. They want to put me, yeah, Roger Waters, thank you, right? They want to put me on lithium. They suggest, they tell my parents, your son needs, he needs help. I needed to sing to the Lord a new song. And nobody was there to tell me. Because the song that I was filling my heart with was violent. It was depressing. It was miserable. The Bible says this, and I don't like this verse, but it is true. It says, the idols of men are wood and stone and silver. Everybody who trusts in them is like them. Pastor Bob used to do this great thing. He used to say, next time you get into a mess, call on your God. Remember? Budweiser! Cocaine! Pornography! Next time you're in a jam, call on your God and see if he will rescue you. If you are here tonight, sing to the Lord a new song. He's giving you this freedom. Man, do not be bound again. The Bible says, like a dog returns to his vomit, so too we return to our sin. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. I'm sorry, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise him, his name, with the dance. Remember we did the dance, remember? Remember Mama did the dance for us, Sahara did the dance. And I swear, guys, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm sorry. I need to say this. I was like, this is going to be so weird. I've never done anything like this before. It's weird. I hope there's nobody visiting it. By the time it was over, I was like, that was beautiful. Why don't we do that more often? You didn't make it weird, Mama. Thank you. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. Listen to this. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Do you guys understand that? He takes pleasure in you. I don't know how you grew up, with what father you grew up, or what family you grew up, but don't let your vision of God be the vision of your family. The Lord takes pleasure in you. He delights in you. You want to know something? Here's what it says. It is written, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an amazing verse. Don't you know it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? And I thought it was something I had to work for. I thought it was something that well, you know, of course God's going to save my wife. Look how much she loves him. But I guess I'm a part of the package deal. Thank God I got a good wife. He takes pleasure in me. You know what? I want to do something weird. I want you to say that out loud. God takes pleasure in me. Say it.
God takes pleasure in me.
If it was weird saying that, then that should be your testimony right there. You don't know that. My old man was, old school Sicilian, and he used to say to me, don't pray for me. Pray for some. There's sick kids out there. I'm like, Dad, God wants to hear from you too. I never pray for myself. You pray, Dad? Of course I pray. You think I don't pray? Sorry. Dad, he didn't know that God took pleasure in him. He didn't know that, I don't remember the verse exactly how it was worded. Maybe somebody can tell me. It's a verse that says, the prayer of the saint is his delight. I remembered it. There you go. The prayer of the saint is his delight. He loves your prayers, man. And he will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. What? How silly is that? Sing aloud on your bed? That's beautiful. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand. And here's my favorite verse. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something you probably don't know. Do you know that the Bible says that you will judge angels? Do you know the Bible says that man was made a little lower than the angels? But that whole little lower thing, that's only in God's kingdom a little lower. Because we're made a lot lower than the angels. Like one angel killed 180,000 people in the Bible one time in one night. Angels are strong beings. And we're made a little lower than them. But now this word for angel isn't just angel like as in those who do God's bidding. There's also satanic angels, demons, devils. And they don't want you to have a good day. They don't go, oh, well, Deb, she had a rough day on her roof. I'm going to give her a break today. Just, I'm going to let you rest. They don't. And they're not mean. They're not naughty. They're sick and satanic. They want your children dead and raped. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus doing the speaking, that Satan only came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's it. He wants you ripped off, he wants you destroyed, and then he wants you dead. But the Bible says that when we are made new, when we are transformed, when we are glorified, we're going to walk into a room, sanctified imagination, and there's going to be an angel sitting there. Oh, yes. Weren't you the one that first put my brother on angel dust? Oh. Do you know what he did to us? Do you know that he robbed my mother and father's house and blamed somebody else? Do you know that my brother had contracts for minor league baseball teams, from major league clubs, and he gave it all away because he rather... What could I do to him, God? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I almost feel guilty because I'm looking forward to this vengeance. Almost. The Bible says this. Vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord. Give me space. I'll take care of it. If you allow God to avenge you, you'll feel sorry for your enemy. By the time God does what God does, it'll be so thorough, so complete, and so horrible, you will literally feel sorry for what happens to your enemy. Whereas if you do it yourself, believe me when I tell you, I've done it before. It leaves you empty and cold with no taste in your mouth whatsoever. When you dip your toe into the water of sweet revenge, it only feels good for a minute. Psalm 150, guess what it starts with? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. That's the water above the sky. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Please, before we get through the last verses, let me stop someplace. Please come to me a second. In Ezekiel 28, the history of Satan the devil, he was then called Lucifer, the shining one, made in perfection and beauty. His job in heaven before fallen was to lead every created thing in worship of God. He was the worship leader. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it said, he has fallen. He was cast out of heaven. He was found to have iniquity in his heart because instead of being satisfied with this amazing beauty, this amazing talent, this amazing position, he said, they should worship me. Someday I will ascend. Someday they will worship me. I will be like the Most High. I will. And then Christ said, you will be cast down. The apostles said, Lord, we saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. He wanted to ascend, but instead he was descending. So when I get in your business and I tell you, hey guys, it's time to put away your secular music. Don't let it rule your life. It's what you think about when you wake up. It's what you meditate on when you go to bed. Be careful. That stuff will drag you away, man. It'll drag you away. I'm not talking about you're in a store and you hear something, you run, I'm not talking about that. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. Sometimes every once in a while I put something, so, oh man, remember that song? I was listening to Foreigner one day. I haven't heard Foreigner. Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that, but I don't. Nope. What's on my constant playlist, what's on my constantly washing my mind with, is now it's House Fires. Man, I'm just so into House Fires. In case you guys don't know what that is, House Fires is a band. It's not like House Fires. What are you talking about? I'm lighting people's. Pastor said he was lighting people's houses on fire. No. No, it's. But this is also why we're very, very careful who's up here. These people that we put up here, there's a lot of fighting that goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of swords. We're careful about the songs they choose. We're careful about who's doing the singing. We're careful about who's standing up here. Careful, because the five I wills, let me tell you something, this place here, This is nice. Be careful. I'm dead serious. Be careful. Me and my wife, you know, every once in a while we watch some of these America's Got Talent, American Idol shows, and they trot out some 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, and you hear him sing, and I say to my wife, oh my goodness, the voice on that child. Wow. And the parents just ended their life. You take a young kid, 8, 10, 11, 12 years old, and you tell them how great they are. You put them in Hollywood around these sick, perverted pedophiles, and you wonder why, what happened to their life? Verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. In the last verse in all of the Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I encourage you here, one of the greatest things I ever did for my life was getting rid of my music. And that was hard because, man, I was just like you. I love me some music, man. I loved it. I wanted to pride myself on knowing every song that came on the radio. I want to know every artist and every song. And in my day, it was MTV. I wanted every video. I wanted to watch that. Every best thing that I ever did. This time I decided to sing a new song to the Lord, and it was a song of praise. And here's what I want you to know, and this is the last thing I'm going to tell you before I let you go. I don't know where you're getting your Christian music from, but there's a big difference between secular music, which is no God involved, anti-Christian music, which obviously is some of that crazy, you know, rap, heavy metal, where it's truly satanic music. And I don't mean satanic just because of the way it sounds. I mean, the lyrics are literally satanic. And then there's praise and worship. And then there's Christian music. Christian music is just merely somebody who couldn't make it in the regular music industry to say, hey, let's consider ourselves Christian, because it's not as deep a pool. And you hear them on Way FM and all of that stuff. But praise and worship, House Fires and Rita Springer and stuff like this. Please remember, worship is not worship. It's just worship. Huh? Guys, if they put a song on, that song, you know that song, I Won't Relent, that we play? We won't relent until him. I hate that song. Just telling you, I hate that song. If I never heard that song again, that would be fine. Now, some of you guys are like, oh, are you allowed to say that about a Christian song? It's a song. It's not worship itself. It's a tool. And you guys might be like, but I like that song. I never told the guys not to play it. Matt can play it anytime he wants. I think he does a great job with it. And every once in a while he plays it, I'm like, yeah, I do like that song again. But then all of a sudden, I don't like it anymore. You called me out upon the wall. Hate that song. Heard it too many times. Can't listen to it again. Once they, I can't. Just stop. I can't believe you're saying you hate Christian songs. Yes, they're just songs. It's not God. And that is the danger we run into, guys, that we enshrine something above God. You know what? You know what I need, guys? I need a new song. About a year ago, I found House Fires. Love them. Listening to all their songs. You know what happened the other day? One of their songs came on. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of getting sick of that song. I need a new band. I need a new song. Somebody help me. I'll never forget the first time somebody turned me on to Rita Springer. It was the old prayer meetings we used to have. Some girl said, hey, Ryan, you should listen to these girls. She's a really good singer. Oh, great. Another person gave me music, put it on. I was like, where's this girl been? Rita Springer's new album came out a couple months ago. Hated it. What happened? She went the way of U2. Heard a song on the radio the other day. Oh, that's U2. They suck. Never thought I'd say that. Never. Every U2 album that came out, I had the CD, I had the record. U2 was my band. And then they came out with an album called Achtung Baby. Like, what happened to you guys? No! Music is just music. Do not worship music. Because everybody who worships an idol is just like that idol. You want proof? I want you to go over to Boca Raton, Florida. I want you to go to right by somewhere. There's a little. I'm beating that too far. You ever hear a white kid from Boca Raton talk like a black kid from Chicago? You're like, is your father Tupac Shakur or something like that? I mean, it's the weirdest thing. You're like, and you meet them, hey, it's nice to meet you, how are you? Because you worship an idol and you become that idol. I have this friend of mine from New York, Brooklyn, kid from Brooklyn. Kid from Brooklyn. When he talked, he had worse New York accent than me. He's like, Ryan, forget about it. I'm digging Florida, man. I'm telling you, this is the greatest place in the world. And we moved down here, and all of a sudden, he got a job in Ocala installing screening patios. I don't see the kid for like 10 years. He shows up at the store, and he's like, Ron, how you doing? He's got cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, a buckle on. He's even walking with a little bit of this. Man, how you all been doing? I'm like, are you kidding me? What are you doing? And I was like, you're listening to country music, aren't you? He goes, man, I got turned on to country music some years ago. You ever heard of Garth Brooks? No. What did you do? Your name used to be Antonio. What do you call yourself now? They call me Squeezy. What? We have no nickname Squeezy in New York. What are you doing? That's because when I ride a horse, I squeeze my legs too tight. They keep telling me, so they start calling me Squeezy. Hey, I'm laughing and making jokes, but I'm telling you, if your kids are listening to trash music, don't be surprised when you don't even recognize who they are anymore. Child left to himself causes shame and brings reproach. Be careful. Be careful. All right, I'm done. Hey, next week. Okay, next week is the prayer meeting. But the week after that, we're going to start Proverbs. And it's going to be an open forum. We're going to be talking a lot back and forth about the Proverbs because it's the wisdom. We're going to do the wisdom. We're going to have a really good time with the book of Proverbs. It's going to be a lot of fun, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you. And we just say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We want to sing to the Lord a new song. We want to shout to the trees and the clouds and the stars and the sea and the sea monsters. Praise the Lord. God, I pray if anybody here today was confused or didn't get it, please, Lord, give them a vision of your greatness. May they have a moment with you so amazing, a baptism of sorts. May they go out on the water. God, I thank you that Peter walked out on the water. He tried. He really walked on water a couple of steps. Thank you for that example. Baptize us to praise the Lord every day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen.